Welcome to the Transform Your Mind radio show and podcast. My name is Myrnie Young, certified professional coach, author, and your host. Each week, I bring you an inspiring guest or a solo coaching message from me to help you live your best lives now by transforming your mindset. Thanks for tuning in today, and I hope that this segment meets you at your point of need. Welcome to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrnie Young, and today we are continuing our series, The Millennials Playbook to Adulting, with my co-host, Miss Erica L. Pierce. And today we are going to touch on how to become who you were meant to be. Another way of saying that is, how do you find your purpose? Because as millennials, that is the number one thing that is foremost, front and center in their minds as they look at their careers, as they look at family life, as they look at, you know, they're starting out. And, you know, you don't want to get to 50 years old and realize that you've gone down the wrong path. So having some advice at the beginning of your journey is always good. So just want to welcome Erica. Thank you for being here. Thank you for continuing to share your knowledge with our listeners. And I look forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm excited for this conversation. This is finding your purpose, I think, is something that resonates with everyone. But to your point, I think especially as millennials, something better to start thinking about it earlier than later. So thank you so much for having
me. You know, this just popped into my head. You know, there's a saying that says that you don't want to find that your ladder is leaning up against the wrong building.
Yes. That is very
good
true.
To get some
so many walks of life, yes.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need to, you need some advice as you start off on your journey. So that's awesome. All right. Now, before we get into our show today, I want to let you know about a contest that I'm running for the next 4 weeks. In exchange for your iTunes review of this podcast, you have the opportunity to win a VIP annual subscription to Mixamore, the newest, hottest dating app as seen on Shark Tank. This one-year free membership includes video instant messenger, hot list, chat advantages, and no advertisements, just to name a few. We will have one winner per week of this VIP membership for the next 4 weeks, so get your entries in. To enter, post your review to the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrnie podcast on iTunes, and then email info@myhelps.us with the subject line podcast review, and you will be entered to win an annual VIP subscription to the Mixamore dating app. Let me repeat that email for you. It is info@myhelps.us. And this is valued at $74.99. And what I like about this contest at this time in the series is that it's fitting for millennials. Millennials are dating. Millennials love apps, so it's a perfect marriage. I would say that apps were made for millennials because they are the largest consumers of it. You know, we, older generation, is getting into them, but we don't really live on them as much as the millennials do. So, hey, millennials, get your reviews in, and everybody else too. If you find this program helpful and inspirational, it's nice to go in and make a review and encourage, you know, my guests and myself to continue bringing you fabulous content every week. All right, So let's dive right in, and let me tell you a bit more about my co-host and guest today. Erica L. Pierce is a generational strategist, attorney, author, millennial coach, and speaker. As an exennial, Erica has a unique perspective and has developed strategies and techniques to bridge millennials to generations before and after them. So we have a very short but powerful bio. So I'm going to have Erica expand on this bio and share with you her journey from being an attorney to becoming a generational strategist. So for our new listeners, this is the first time you're going to hear it since this is series number two. But for our repeat listeners, maybe you'll pick up something new. So, Erica, share your journey with us
Until
this point in your life.
Well, thank you again. Thank you so much, Marina. And in terms of my journey, I think it really is just been a process of myself finding my purpose. So I think we all have sort of the path that we think that we're going to go down in life. And for me, I went to law school and I focused on, the legal world for a short period of time, I should say, and realized that was probably not my purpose, and that I actually had more of an entrepreneurial spirit. And so actually having the law degree is very helpful, of course, with being an entrepreneur. It's been a process to determine what was next for me. And so for that, I've always been an informal coach throughout all aspects of my career for, family members, for people who I've worked with or who have worked for me. And so that transitioned into really focusing on the millennial generation and doing some coaching there and really helping millennials with professional development, as well as just, navigating, I would say, just navigating life and adulting and finding your purpose. And so I wrote the book, The Millennials Playbook to Adulting, earlier this year with that in mind. And that has really, really been, I would say, very a passion project for me. It's been very purposeful, and I've enjoyed the process. I enjoy working and engaging with millennials. I enjoy helping people be successful. And so I would say you never stop necessarily finding your purpose, and your purpose may change. And so for me right now, I feel that I'm here to connect the generations to help people better understand, especially in the workplace, how to communicate, how to align expectations and values and things like that with other generations. And so that's been my journey, I should say, but it very much has been a lesson also in finding my own personal purpose.
That's awesome. And, one of the things that comes through when people talk about purpose is that they become illuminated. They, you can tell somebody's talking with passion from their delivery. And I can tell by your delivery that you're very passionate about what you do. And that's how the joy is the word I was looking for. It just comes through and people can hear it. So I heard it, in you. And, the same here. I'm a life coach now, right now, and I enjoy it so much that, I spend a lot of time on it. And it's not necessary that it's financially rewarding, but I just love helping people. I love doing this radio program, and I love giving back to the world. And I do this all, for free. So that's because it's my passion. And, your passion is where you find that you can be in it all day long, and you don't feel tired, and you don't feel bored, and you're just illuminated and just joyful. And it's a great way to live your life. When you live a passionless life just because you're making money, and, hopefully we can touch on that in this conversation, that, mm-hmm. As a coach myself and as a daughter and having a millennial as a daughter, a lot of times when I coach her, it's not what she's came out of school and, just touching this briefly because it's a personal story. My daughter always felt that she was supposed to be a psychologist. And she went into becoming a psychologist for, getting her degree and everything. And along that journey, she read Nelson Mandela's book, A Long Walk to Freedom. and decided that she needed to become a political advocate. And she just switched right away.
Wow.
I know, right? Yeah, and went to university, got into American University, and which is the top political science university with no background in any, you know, political stuff, graduated, and now she's working for a company right next to the White House and doing some great, great work at Common Cause. So, you know, I didn't even think about that until right now, and that's what I like about, you know, the Holy Spirit or my higher self that, you know, pops things into my head as we're having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But that is, you know, a great way to talk about, you know, leaning your ladder up against the wrong building. And, yeah, so very good. Very good introduction. I love that. All right. So, you know, so my next question is a follow-up to the first, and it is, do you agree that we're all meant to do a certain thing on this earth? And what is your advice, double question, what is your advice to millennials to find out their purpose? So let's say, using my daughter's story, that, you know, she didn't know what her purpose was. You know, she went to school and maybe felt that maybe psychology is either, you know, is a job that can make her money, or she felt some kind of affinity to it. So, and I think that's where a lot of millennials park, right? So
mm-hmm.
What advice do you give them?
Sure. Well, just to answer your first question in terms of do I think we're all here to do something? Yes, I definitely believe that we individually are all here to, you know, to bring some value to offer something back to the world. So, you know, and that can sort of get into my own personal belief systems. But I believe some of us it takes longer than others, but I do believe we are all here to accomplish something. And I think we probably give different weight to what we accomplish, but that probably might be a mistake because what you believe is something small, it can be transformational to somebody else. In terms of what I believe millennials can do is in terms of finding your purpose, I actually think it starts with a very simple concept, and that is honestly taking time to think and to plan. And I think when we sit back and you when you look at your life, if you plan it with the level of detail that you plan, for example, a vacation, you'd be surprised about you know, how differently you might view things. And so something that I like to do is taking 1 hour a week to evaluate where I am and where I want to go. And the timeline might be where I want to go this week. It might be where I want to go in the next year, in the next 2 years, 5 years, or, you know, whatever time period I feel I need to think about it and plan for at that time. And so I think with that, you know, when you do that, when you take that time, it's both thinking about where you want to go, and then what are the steps that you need to do to take you there. So, for example, if you're thinking about, if you're in a place where you say, I hate my job, I'm not, you know, it's not fulfilling, this is not my purpose, well, then, you know, think about what would make you feel purposeful. What are the types of positions or jobs that you would like to be in? And then what are the steps that you need to take to get there? So do you need to, you know, go back to school? Do you need to join networking groups? Do you need to go to different types of events? Do you need to, you know, meet new people, reach out to, you know, some companies for some informational interviews, redo your resume so it's more targeted towards a different field than you're currently in? All of those types of things, I think, are part of the planning process that can lead you to finding what your purpose is at a time when some people, you know, it can feel overwhelming or you can feel a little lost.
Yeah, that's good. And as I start using, you know, a subject for a case study, I knew we'll continue along with that. And I will tell you, as a coach, when my daughter came to me one day and said that she wants to become a politician, and I look at her, this sweet, innocent person that had no politician skills or, you know, natural talent, and I said to her, well, how do you get there? How do you get from where you are today to where you want to be tomorrow, right? And as a coach, we planned it. you know, she thought that, you know, I've got to go to Toastmasters and learn how to speak in front of people. I definitely need to go to a school for political science. And, you know, we needed to do certain things, maybe even volunteer in some, you know, political things so you can get some political experience and things like that. So, yeah, and you got to make a plan. And the beautiful thing about it, you know, is that it might feel far-fetched, but you never know. If it's really your purpose, the universe and God will step in and help you get there, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
When my daughter applied to, you know, American University, she said, you know what, I would have a, she applied to several, and there's one in California that, you know, they admit 70% of their guests, and the other American only admitted like 10% or something. So she said, you know, I'll apply. There's no hope that I'm going to get in. And guess what? She got in because she's on purpose, because God helps you to put you where you need to be. You know what I mean? So, yeah, don't ever think that anything is too big. You know, Les Brown says, you know, reach for the stars. You might fall on the moon. But, yeah, you know, make your goals big, right?
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes is, if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough.
Yes, and
I
like
really
that too.
Stand by that.
And
so, you know, you have to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that's really, I think when you accept that, that will help you in finding your purpose, especially if you're not currently living what you believe to be your purpose.
Yeah, that's very true. I like that one. I mean, you talked about it before. You must really live by that. And it's very true. You know, when my daughter went to Washington, she was incredibly uncomfortable. She was in a city that she didn't know anyone. She was going into something that she didn't know anything about, and it was uncomfortable. And that's only way you grow, right? Only way you grow. And I use that as my analogy all the time myself, right, is that, you know, you got to get out of your comfort zone, right? You don't grow in your comfort zone. Loving it. Loving your conversation. I love this topic, actually.
me too, because it's so relevant.
I spend a lot of time on this.
So relevant.
I spend a lot of time on it. Awesome. All right. So, and this is coming from your book. You've got a chapter in your book talking about you're giving advice and strategies and how millennials can achieve their goal in the workplace. But I like the word hustle. So, you got to hustle to get what you want in this world, right? You don't sit around and wait for it to come to you, right? So how would you advise someone to hustle, right, to achieve
their
goals?
I think when you hustle, you have to be hungry. You have to, you know, really want it. You have to be motivated. And so I think when to your point earlier, when it's something that you truly, you know, you feel passionate about or you really want to achieve, the hustle actually comes fairly easy, at least in the beginning, because, you know, most will accept that challenge and want to go after it. Now, where it becomes challenging, I would say, is consistently hustling, always having that thirst, that hunger to push you further. And so, and that sometimes can be where we tend to fall off. and that's just human nature, that's natural. But again, I think that's when you have to really learn to hold yourself accountable and to make sure that you are you're hitting hitting your own personal benchmarks and hitting your own personal goals. And so a good way to keep the hustle mentality, I would say, is to make sure that you have measurable things that you want to do. And so that way, that's the best way to check yourself. So I'll give you an example, and this is a personal example. I want to be in better shape, which I think is a goal that everyone has, most people have, I should say. And so it'd be easy to say, I want to I want to work out more. But instead, the way I, what I've done is I've said, I want to go to the gym 170 times this year. And that is a very measurable thing for me because, you know, in the beginning, I started this in January, you know, I was on target. I was hitting it. And so then February sort of started to fall off in March a little bit. And so in the past month, I went and I did the math and I counted how many times I had gone, how many days were left in the year. And so that was real data that said, okay, I got to hustle because I only have so many days of the year left and I got to hit this 170 number. And so that means I need to, you know, get back into my grind the same way I was grinding in January. So that, again, that's a very personal example, but that just, to me, because I have this very specific goal that's measurable and that I can check in, that is going to drive my hustle. And when I fall off, I can quickly do sort of a check-in to see what I need to do to continue to get there. Something like that can be applied to so many, you know, walks of your life. So professionally, you know, when someone says, I want to work in a different industry, I would say, okay, well, why don't you make a list of 10 people that work in that industry and give yourself a period of time to contact them and to meet with them. And so, again, that's measurable. In that very moment, you might say, oh, yeah, let me reach out to all 10 of them. And then 2 weeks, 2 months later, you realize that you didn't follow through and you didn't end up meeting with them. Or you only met with two, you know, two out of the 10 or something like that. So I think the best way to keep the hustle is to hold yourself accountable and to really have some specific objectives that you have to check in to make sure you're going to meet whatever is your end goal.
Well, that's awesome. Very, very powerful analogy. I love the personal one that you did because everybody knows that, which is why they push gym memberships because we all know, like, you know, I mean, this is turning out to be, you know, a show about my daughter, but, you know, she has been one of those people, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, recently, she has been, you know, going to kickboxing. She's been working out at a gym. And the first thing I said to her, because I know her, now, what exactly is your motivation? All of a sudden, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
she's going to Spain, and she wants to look good in her bathing suit.
Okay, so she's killing
herself. Yeah. You know what I mean? But, so we all have
these.
Right.
She has a deadline, yeah.
Yeah, she's hustling, and she's got a short-term goal. And that's a lot of that's how gym memberships go. People go because they want to get into bathing suits for the summer, you know, the summer. Or they you know, after the holidays when they've gained the 10 pounds. But you're right, they never consistently keep it up. And, you know, what I like about your analogy is that you've pushed it out for a whole year and you've given yourself a goal. So, you know what I mean? And if you hold yourself accountable to that 175, right, you will know that, hey, you know, if you get down to November and you want to be accountable to yourself, because it's another thing that I, you know, I coach and I also hold myself, because if your mind can't trust you or your body can't trust you or you can't trust you, then it goes downhill. So if you made a commitment to yourself, then you got to keep it, right? So at 175, if you say, well, you know what, I want to be able to keep that, and I've got like 10 more to go or 20 more to go or something, then you're going to hustle to keep it. Now, if you don't feel like making a commitment to yourself and keeping it is important, then you're not going to do it, and that is where coaching comes in. Because one of the most powerful reasons to have a coach is to keep you accountable, because most people cannot keep themselves accountable. You know what I mean? Me and you probably can because we're coaches and we're in that space, but a lot of people can't. And they would go for 5 years. I've coached lots of people that want to lose weight. And something always comes up, right, that stops them from going, you know, through what they're going to do because they let outside things. But, you know, if you come back into the coaching conversation and you says, hey, you said you're going to go to the gym 3 times a week. Hey, no, I got all these things. I says, you know, that's an excuse, right? If you really wanted to do it, you would have done it, that kind of thing. And then you hold the person accountable. So, yeah, hustling, you know, but when I was talking about hustling, I remember people like Jay-Z and Puff Daddy and the hustlers on the street are hustlers for their music and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're hustling. You know what I mean? And that's the word that, you know, one of the millionaires, I think his name is Gray, Fire Gray. You know, I went to see him once and he talked about the hustle, right? He talked about the hustle. If you want to become a
millionaire. And the hustle never stops. Yep.
Right, yeah, yeah. He talks about the hustle. You got to hustle, right? You don't wait for somebody to come to you. You go knock on their door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an example that I would give is let's say you, okay, well, I love when things pop into my mind. I'm getting goosebumps at this one, so this is a powerful one. You know, Tiffany Haddish, she just won an Academy Award by Essence, and she made her story, and she talked about the hustle. She was homeless. She was living in her car. She has a story, like a lot of successful people do. And one of the things she said is that she would go to her manager's office every day asking, what do you got for me? What do you got for me? Put me in something. Put me in something. And she hustled. She didn't sit home and wait for the call, right? And then, you know, finally they put her in something, and she was the breakout star of people don't know who I'm talking about, the breakout star from, I mean, I'm sure you know, right, but maybe some of my audience are not, but I mean, she was the breakout star in Girls Trip, and now she's everywhere. She's got like three, if you want to talk about breakout, and that happens in the hustle. Go ahead.
One of my favorite, I would say, just hustlers, and this has nothing to do with even being a fan of his music or art, but really it's Puff Daddy. I live in Washington D.C. and so he went to a college here at Howard University. And what some people may not know is that he really wanted to work in, you know, he obviously wanted to work in the music industry. And he would take the train or the bus every single day up to New York, and he would wash the car of one of the top music executives, Andre Harrell. And he would do that and just go back and forth. You know, I mean, it's a 4-hour train ride back and forth, but that's what he did until he finally got a job at the record label. And what's interesting
is, good
example,
you know, of a hustle.
Someone that I follow on social media because he's always trying to motivate and he's always hustling. I mean, the man is obviously doesn't need the money, he has that hustle mentality where, you know, he's hosting a TV show, he's still making music, he's still, producing people, he's putting his sons out there. I mean, it's just, it never stops, because if you're still thirsty for more, you will always be driven to continue to take yourself to the next level.
Yes. Perfect. All right. I'm loving your conversation. I'm loving your energy because we're talking about passion. But let's take a quick station break right now. We'll be right back. So don't go anywhere. We're going to come back and we're going to dive deeper. Stay tuned.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Mix Amore, a new dating app. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, Latino, Asian, Indian, or beyond. Listen, some see things in black and white. Some see plenty of fish. To match is hard, so they say. Why not try Mix Amore? That's M-I-X-A-M-O-R-E. Download today for free. Ciao.
Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we are having a very powerful and uplifting conversation with the author of The Millennial's Playbook to Adulting, Ms. Erica L. Pierce. In our first segment, we talked about how to find your purpose and how to, hustle and, taking time to think and plan to where you want to be, whether it's this week, this year, or 5 years. You have to have clarity and you have to plan, and then you have to hustle to get there once you've identified where you want to be. So as we continue on to our second segment, let's continue with the analogy of leaning your ladder up against the wrong wall. So let me ask Erica, What are some of the strategies you share in your book on finding your purpose? How to be sure that you're not going to spend, 20 years in the wrong job?
Well, I would say a couple of things is that I would oftentimes, I think sometimes we could feel like, okay, I've wasted my time in this job or something like that. But I actually would recommend that you look at those as stepping stones, as foundations. There's a reason I believe that we're put into, every job or every position, and it might not be the right fit, or it might not feel like the right fit, but I think it's to figure out what you should learn from that position. Sometimes it's learning, okay, this is what I hate to do. there's power just in knowing that. So I think sometimes people can get very caught up in feeling like, okay, I've just wasted away my life at this company or doing this job. But, sometimes there's power in flipping it and saying, okay, what were my takeaways? What were my lessons? How do I use that for what I do next? So I would say that's probably the first advice I would give in terms of, how to get to your purpose. And then the second piece I would say to that is, really professionally as I said earlier, I'm a believer in putting pen to paper, or pulling out your laptop or your device or whatever is the best way for you to sort of do some soul searching. For me, it's pen to paper. And so I would recommend, writing out, what is it that you like to do? What excites you? What interests you? And because this is a conversation you're having with yourself, you can be as crazy as you want to be because there's no judgment. It's just yourself, And so, for example, someone could say, I really like to do hair. I love this, I love haircuts. I love color. I love things like that, even though I'm a scientist, But you could put that, you could put whatever you want on the list. And then really start, I almost think about it like a college basketball championship bracket where you start saying, okay, of these two things, what do I like more? And then, and you start to break it down so you start to get, a very short list. And then you start to land on, one thing that you really feel like, okay, this is the one. This is what I want to do next. And I think especially in this day and age with millennials, there's no need to commit that what you are doing right now or what you do next is what you have to do for the next 25 years. I don't necessarily believe that we should, just bounce around from, one career move to the next, but I do believe that you can constantly evolve. And I often tell the millennials that I coach to think about the business term adapt or die, which is really about, making sure you're always evolving your company to be responsive to, to the change of time. So you look at companies like Uber who have disrupted the taxi cab industry. I think we should look at ourselves in very much the same way. Be willing to adapt. Be willing to change. Be open to doing things that you maybe never saw yourself doing. And that's really where I think you will sort of get to the path or the different paths of your passion. So don't necessarily think about, okay, I have to pick a job and stick to it forever. If I had gone to law school and stuck to just being a lawyer, I would honestly be miserable because that was not what was for me. But I don't look at going to law school as, as a waste of time or that being something I would change because there were so many skill sets in terms of critical thinking and reasoning and even in business, being in business for myself, being able to leverage having my own sort of legal counsel that have been very fulfilling for me. So I'm glad I did it. I'm just glad I recognized that doing the traditional legal route was not for me. And so, again, I'm doing something else, but there's not, there's no reason to say 10 years from now, I could be also doing something different from now. So I think that's the other piece. It's just, don't feel like you have to commit to something for 25 years. I like to honestly think about life in 5 years at a time.
Okay. Well, that's great. You know, I like the idea of the analogy of stepping stones, because it's very true. You know, I've just started listening to biographies now. It's my thing. You know, I think.
I love biographies.
I know. I eat them up. You know, I don't do a lot of fiction books unless I'm on a beach somewhere. But, you know, I read a lot, and I read a lot of nonfiction books, and I learn things. But all of a sudden, I'm into biographies. I'm, like, eating them up. And, you know, the biographies, people are saying the same thing, that, you know, every experience in your life is a paramount experience for what you want to do. It's just that you can't waste, you know, your whole life with the stepping stones. You know, you got to get to the main stone at some point in time. But yeah, you're right. Even I'm trying to remember who I was Tina Fey or something. I think I was right. I read Tina Fey's biography and the things that she was doing. You know, working in YMCA and doing all these different things. But it helped her develop, you know, her comedy life or whatever. You know what I mean? So everything that you do, you know, helps you. And as far as a lawyer, that would be like the top thing. You know, getting a law degree would never waste. There's so many avenues that you can use that in, you know. And, you know, one of the ones that you didn't talk about, being a lawyer is great in presentation. You know, that's why you're so eloquent in your delivery and in your speech. That's what lawyers do. So if there's nothing else, you know, lawyers can go and argue their case and present. So, listen, there would never be a waste of time to become a lawyer. But, you know, some people can dabble in things. But, again, I do agree with you you know, stepping stones are important to your main experience. But I want to add one thing to that. I actually spend a lot of time, and I have a lot of information on my website, on something that's called What Do You Hold in Your Hand? And it comes from the Moses analogy, where when God called Moses to step into his purpose, he kept saying, well, I'm not a good speaker, I'm not this, I'm not the right person, send someone else. And God said, "What do you have in what do you have in your hand?" And he said, "His staff," and he used his staff to help him achieve his purpose. And I use that analogy because when you're finding your purpose, you mentioned what are your interests and what excites you. But I'm going to add to that: what are you good at? You know, what's your natural ability? What's your natural talent? Because that's what you have in your hand. So I'm just going to add to that. Yes. So.
Yeah, and I always say, be great at what you're good at.
Yeah. You know, expand on it. Because, yeah, like, you know, we've all read the Ray Charles story. You know, he's born blind and he just picked up a piano and just played. You know what I mean? You know, our purpose is not going to all come to us like that, you know. But, you know, that's an extreme case. But, yeah, he was obviously born for what he did and he learned to play being blind. But some of us has to, you know, do these stepping stones. All right, so you talk about adulting in your book. In fact, your book is called The Millennial's Playbook to Adulting, right? So for our new listeners, I know we touched on it a little bit in our last episode, but can you again, because I'm hoping to get new listeners every week, can you explain what you mean by adulting and how that relates to finding one's purpose?
Sure. So, you know, adulting is actually it's a millennial coined term. You see it lots on social media, usually, you know, said, you know, it on funny memes or hashtags, like, you know, I'm doing laundry, hashtag adulting, paying bills, you know, adulting, or I'm over adulting, you know, like to return adulting or something like that. So, you know, adulting is really just the idea of growing up, frankly, and taking on, you know, new responsibilities and transitioning into, you know, I would say being more independent. And as in terms of how adulting connects to your purpose, I think that one of the things in my coaching that I tell people and tell the millennials that I work with is when you are transitioning into adulting, you are now the owner of your life. I actually say, you are the CEO of Me Incorporated. And part of that is determining what you want to do. And so it's no longer what your parents want you to do, or your teachers, your grandparents, those types of things, all of these influencers who have really directed you for the majority of your life so far. This next phase of your life is really about running your life, again, like a CEO runs a company. And so, you know, I think oftentimes there are people who end up, you know, in professions because that's what their parents wanted them to do, or that's what was expected of them, or that's what they said they were going to do and they were embarrassed to, you know, change their mind. Well, if you want to change it, it is now up to you to do so. And so that's part of being an adult. You know, it's unlikely that someone is going to come to you and to say, I think that you need to, you know, change your passion or your job. You know, or and that scenario probably could happen, but it's up to you to decide what that looks like and how to execute it. It's not up to anyone else anymore. So I would just encourage millennials especially to think about that, to think about what you want, and to no longer, you know, look for others to, you know, direct your path. Certainly others can help lead you in the direction that you want to go to, and I'm a firm believer in leveraging, you know, a personal board of advisors and your mentors and people around you to help you and to guide you and to get feedback from. But it is really up to you to do the exercise and to do the work and to decide where you want to go next or where you want to take your life professionally or impersonally as you become an adult.
Yeah, awesome. Love it. All right, so we are going to take our second break, and we'll be right back to wrap up this very exciting conversation. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Mix Amore, a new dating app. It doesn't matter if you're Black, white, Hispanic, Latino, Asian, Indian, or beyond. Listen. Some see things in black and white. Some see plenty of fish. To match is hard, so they say. Why not try Mix Amore? That's M-I-X-A-M-O-R-E. Download today for free. Ciao.
Okay, welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and we have been speaking to Erica L. Pierce, the author of The Millennial's Playbook to Adulting. So what I want to do now is to bring something from Erica's book that I found interesting, and want to ask her a question about that. So this is the final question. On the first page, one of the first pages of your book, you made the humorous statement, and I quote, "Dear Universe, I missed the How to Be an Adult 101 class. Send help, and my mom, and wine." I thought that was humorous, right? So my question to you is, which adulting class did you think that you missed and have the most struggle with?
Oh, wow. you know, probably for me, it's probably been the financial class on adulting. And, you know, I spoke to a group of millennials yesterday that are part of a fellowship program, and one of the questions they asked were, like, what can you tell me about managing my finances? And, you know, I admitted to them that managing my finances, especially when I was younger, in my 20s, was very difficult. I sort of used my debit card like a gift card, like, let me just charge and see how much is on it, you know, like, and you know, and so, and that wasn't smart decision making. And you know, I think that as I've grown up, I've been forced to become much more financially literate. And I just don't mean, you know, okay, I save money now. That's not being totally financially literate. I mean, really understanding, you know, what's coming in, what's going out, having that data point. And now, you know, there's lots of apps that can help you figure that out, as well as understanding what's the best way to save my money. What are, you know, what are, you know, ways that I can, you know, increase my my salary or my revenue streams besides just my day-to-day 9-to-5 job. Understanding the stock market, understanding, you know, investments and things like that, especially being an entrepreneur, really understanding those types of things are really important. And so I think that I came from a very traditional family that was, you put some money in a saving account, you do that every single week, and you will likely not, you know, that's the best that you won't go poor. That's how you do it. But there's so much more to that. And so that was part of the, I would say, the adulting class, if I had to say have one, that I did not get, that I probably, you know, I'm still learning, but, you know, came to me much, much later in life, that I think is very critical to proper adulting.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. You know, I help my daughter a lot with that, but I'm just learning that now in my 50s. So I can understand that because, you know, our parents certainly didn't sit down and teach us because they didn't even know themselves. So that was a perfect answer. I love it. All right. So tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you if they want any kind of coaching or to purchase a copy of your book.
Sure. You can go to my website, which is www.erika, and Erika is A-R-I-K-A, Pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E.com. So it's just my name, erikapierce.com. And you can certainly send me an email if you're interested in coaching. Also, my book is available there for purchase. It's also on Amazon as well. You can download the audiobook for free on my website. So definitely go and check that out, and you can listen to it while you, you know, are on the go. And then the paperback as well as the ebook are both available on Amazon, and it's the Millennials Playbook to Adulting.
Awesome, awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I absolutely loved our conversation today. Now, let me remind our listeners about the contest I have at the moment. In exchange for your iTunes review of this podcast, you have the opportunity to win a VIP annual subscription to Mixamore, the newest, hottest dating app as seen on Shark Tank. This one-year free membership includes video instant messenger, hot list, chat advantages, and no advertisements, just to name a few. We will have one winner per week to this membership, and you have 4 weeks to get your entries in. So to enter, post your review to the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna podcast on iTunes, and then email info@myhelps.us. That is info@myhelps.us with the subject line podcast review, and you will be entered to win a VIP annual subscription to Mix Amore valued at $74.95. And since today we are talking to millennials, we know that millennials love apps. We also know that a lot of millennials are dating. So this is a perfect mix or marriage for you guys to give Erika your feedback and how you appreciate her time and this topic, and me for bringing it to you, and also get some value at the same time by being able to get a VIP membership to Mix Amore. So as we wrap up, I want to thank you guys all for tuning in. This is number 2 of a 4-part series on the Millennials Playbook to Adulting. Stay tuned for our 3rd episode. We haven't picked a topic yet, but yeah, I expect you here every week, guys, so you're not going to miss anything. Remember to subscribe just in case you can't be on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Subscribe to the podcast, and it will be on your phone so that you can listen at any time. Erika, I want to thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk again soon. Any final words?
No, find your purpose and take time to think. And thank you again for having me. This was a great talk today.
All right, thanks. All right, namaste. You know what time it is. It is time for you to step up and step out. The time is now to transform your mind so that you can live your best lives now.